want Cece to read this short little thing that she wrote. I read it last night, and it's just really powerful. And it really is. I was talking to, we talked to a lot of people at the fair. The fair went better this year than any year we've done it. We had just a lot of contacts, a lot of people talk to us, but for Jump for Jesus. But I was talking to one guy particularly yesterday, and one thing I found myself saying is that nothing can be done against love. When somebody is truly motivated by love and what they do, whether they're contending for the faith or not. You know, we think about the fact, you know, we've got upon the sign contending for the faith that was once preached to the saints. And people think contention only comes by strife and pride, you know. But contending, you can contend also in the spirit of love. And true contention, it talks about in Jude, contending for the faith that was once preached, is motivated by love and faith that works by love. And contending can be in a wrong spirit and it can be in a right spirit. So I want Cece to read this. Because I was saying to this guy, nothing can be done against love. When love is really your weapon, when really whether you're contending for the faith and defending the faith in a right sense, not just arguing about scripture, but when you're rightly contending for right doctrine, the doctrines of Jesus according to godliness, when you're trying to present the person and the spirit and the heart of God in Jesus, when you're in a right spirit, love is the ultimate weapon. When people sense and feel that you really care for them, you can say almost anything to them and get away with it. If you're really, really in care for them,
for their good.
Just trying to put across a truth is what a lot of us, and myself, I've been guilty as anybody else, trying to put across a truth, trying to fortify your position because it's true, or fortify the scripture's position because it's true, never works. Even though you may win the argument, it doesn't work. It doesn't affect conviction unto repentance in anybody's soul, because it's merely idea. It only reaches the mind. It only reaches the head. It doesn't, the reasoning. It doesn't even, it very seldom even gets into the reasoning mode, and it never gets down into the soul, and it never causes that person to really feel like you're contending for their soul. To them, you're just trying to prove a point. So,
a great example.
Go ahead.
And even this scripture right here says the Lord will plead their cause. I was telling one of the wives, all you have to do is be a witness. All the Lord wants you to do is sit on this side of the courtroom, go up on the Lord's cause, because he's a counselor. There's a scripture that says, it talks about the Holy Ghost being an advocate. And I was trying to explain, I just saw something after I said this to this woman. I saw that everything is really judicial. You know, there's physical law and there's spiritual law. And we're all subject to both, whether we believe it or not. If a baby crawls to the edge of a cliff and it falls over the cliff, it's subject to physical law. Even though it doesn't know it's going to fall to its doom, it's still subject to physical law. And the same thing is true of spiritual law, that everything happens judicially. And I was thinking about the Holy Ghost is an advocate. He's a lawyer. And he only pleads our cause. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who are trusting in him, who are looking to him. So again, we have a judicial thing. We have a legal position. And the Lord pleads the cause of those who are really fearing him and trusting him. And you know, this is the first time I ever really saw this was one time when Shannon was in our room. And he was talking. I was giving Shannon this great sermon. And I don't remember it anymore. But he came in the room and started speaking different things to her. And I mean, I got prideful, I got offended. I thought, oh my gosh, she's going to think everything I said is wrong. So I'm shoving Shannon out the door, kind of, you know. I mean, I was a wreck. Shannon didn't notice anything, but I'm shoving her out the door. And then I'm pleading my cause with him out of my offense, my anger, my fear, my unbelief. He wasn't hearing a thing I said. And then I was just in tears. I go in the bathroom and you know, the Lord's basically saying, that was good, pleading your own cause, huh? I mean, I changed my whole spirit. I realized my spirit was all wrong and that nothing I was saying was for his good. So I went back out and said the same thing to him in a different spirit, and he heard everything I said. I mean, it really opened my eyes to something. And now that was years ago, and now I understand it so much more. The Lord couldn't plead my cause when I was sitting on the wrong side of the courtroom, employing devils, their counselors, to plead my cause. I was putting myself in a position where God couldn't be my advocate. And that's where, you know, the mystery of love comes in, because when we're really speaking out of benevolence, that's what I was telling, you know, some of the women just don't get it. That they don't have to browbeat their husbands, they don't have to spank them, they don't have to discipline them. All they have to do is be a witness out of faith and love. And know that, what are those little court guys that work for lawyers? What are those people called? No. Kind of, that do all the work. It's like, you know, really? Yes! Yes, the Lord has a bunch of paralegals, and he'll call other witnesses to the stand. All we have to do is do our part. And really, you know what I was thinking about that is the devil only has one plot, and it's to slander. The only thing he's about is he's a slanderer. And even you know what my spirit was doing? Even though my cause was just, I was employing devils to slander him. And until I decided I was going to love him and get on the other side of the courtroom and speak out of my benevolent position, then the Lord could plead my cause. And it was like magic. It's like, why didn't he hear any of that before? That's a mystery. His ears got fixed. I mean, you know, and really the problem was with me. And you know, it's such a powerful thing when you see the legal position, because all we need to do is glorify God. When we care about glorifying God and pleading his cause instead of pleading our own cause. See, that position was my own cause, and then I made it the Lord's cause to glorify him, and he heard what I said. And actually, we were both right in what we were saying. I couldn't hear him either. But it wasn't going anywhere because I was on the wrong side of the courtroom. And really, that's what came to me. Really, all we can do, whatever fear and unbelief, you know, this is another thing that came to me. The sinners in Zion are afraid. So what does that tell you when you get afraid? You know, that was real easy for me. That's like 1 + 1 = 2. So, and I remember a time when Mike Wilson calls on the phone. And you know what I did? I got afraid. So what did I tell myself? 1 + 1 = 2. I mean, where, you know, Lord, my love for him isn't right. You know, yeah, his spirit wasn't right towards me, but I didn't justify myself. And the only reason I could change and become more and more benevolent towards him is because I admitted I was afraid. I realized I was lacking something for his soul. I was missing something. And I decided I was going to be in faith to love him, because it's the same thing. I wasn't in a position judicially to reach his soul because of my fear.
And that's, the scripture was Proverbs 22:23, and it was just up from what I read in Proverbs 22:17 through 19. The Lord will plead your cause. But we get into a place where we say, okay, Jesus, you get it. I'm willing to take the lower position now. Sick of it. But you know, the thing is that here's what we don't understand. We are all 1 + 1 = 2. Well, we are all members, individual members of a greater body. Which means we get to be one piece of the orchestra in people's lives. One piece. So she's happens to be hitting Shannon with a trumpet. Now the trumpet was what Shannon needed. I came in with the little violin music. And she didn't like that. But you know what she failed to keep into her consciousness? Who's the conductor? It's the Holy Ghost. The conductor decided that what was needed right then was violin music. And so he sent me into the room. But because she was full of trumpeting, you know, and forgot the conductor principle, what I had to say, now, what I had to say was a different spirit. And maybe it would have been, I could have come in a little early too. I could have been insensitive too. But, so we all have to be willing to look at our own position. But you know what we do? We say, well, it's your fault. You're not listening to me. Well, you know what? That may be true. But what if the conductor is having them say what they're saying, but maybe they're a little stronger than they need to be? Nonetheless, he still has moved them into the position to speak, and he's still trying to say something to you through the one who maybe went in a little early, went in a little strong. And that's where what she's learning is the great principle, the great truth of fear. To be, when you are under a spirit of fear, when fear starts hitting you, or when rejection starts hitting you, and you know what? Most of us don't recognize it at the time that it's upon us. Do you know how we can maybe know that we're not in the right spirit? Is when people aren't receiving us. Instead of getting stronger, we should maybe back up a little bit and say, let me start over.
Seeing that when it comes down to it, we're all either glorifying devils.
Yeah, it's too simple.
We're either glorifying devils and encamping, you know, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. Well, we can be encamped around by devils. And, you know, I just want to say one more thing about that, because we're always in having a choice. We always have a choice. And, you know, and that's what came to me. The Holy Ghost is choosy about being our lawyer. He's not going to make us his client unless our spirit's right.
That's right.
But it's easy to hire the demons. We can hire them in a flash, and they're more than happy to let us be their client.
You know, I gotta say something about that too, because we watch, Joe and I watch these old Perry Mason things, and it's interesting. This guy, the way the writers have Perry Mason being, his search mode over his clients is phenomenal. I mean, and that reminded me, the Holy Ghost is not going to be our advocate if we're not in truth and we're not in the right spirit. He won't do it. He'll leave us to ourselves until we're willing to tell the truth. And the same principle goes on in these old Perry Mason series. Until his clients to be are willing to be honest with him, he doesn't touch them. And so it's really interesting how that is, in how it works out in our lives, especially with the Holy Ghost. You better read this. Now another thing you want to say.
That proverb that says, he that sows iniquity reaps deceit, and the rod of his anger shall fall. You know, that's really, because you know what? When we employ demons and we speak wrong-spirited words, we could say the same thing in a spirit of benevolence. But we're sowing iniquity and we're reaping deceit. We're reaping self-deception. That's what's scary.
And lawless is just being in our own, under our own authority.
Yeah. And you know, gosh, I could just tell so many stories about how God has used different people to bring me to the end of my fear. There's been many times in my life I have felt like this is in response to a letter from Carmen's mom, sent me this letter that really moved me. I mean, she didn't even hardly talk to me while I was here. And then I got a call from Shannon's mom. I mean, it was just kind of weird. So there's been many times in my life I felt like I lived a very meaningless life and wondered if I could really do anyone any good. Last night I was talking with some girls and I kind of saw it like this. It's like we each have a little bag of love to give away and we need to decide who is worthy to give it to. Instead of protecting and defending and guarding my precious little bag of love that God had given me, which was rotting when I tried to defend it and protect it. You know, really, when we get, it's like manna. You know, if God's given us love and we won't give it away, it rots in our bosom. So my precious, protecting my little precious bag of love, I needed to find out who I should give it to. I used to be so sick in my soul trying to defend my measly little life. I got a revelation that I would stay sick because God intended us to be able to give and receive love unless I decided to change. He made us that way. We need to give it away lest we die. We do need to die to defending and protecting our life, for it's when we lose it, we find it. I have found a freedom I never dreamt possible, and it's the power of love. It's the weapon nothing can be done against. And I realized I am the prisoner if I don't live to love and serve others. As St. Francis of Assisi put it in his prayer, the power is in loving, not being loved. Mm-hmm. Jesus gave his love away. He didn't look to be loved, and his is the only example worth following. So I do have freedom. I don't really care too much anymore if I'm loved, but what has come to matter to me in my old age is how I love others. Life and dying in peace with confidence before God is really about who we love. We all have power to make a difference in people's lives, much more than we realize, for the good and for the evil. And the first time I saw it was when I was dating him. And I was defending my life with them. And the Spirit says it's better to love twice and lose than only love once and lose. And it was the first time I ever thought that I was going to be the loser if I decided to withhold love because of my past. So this is the prayer, which we're going to try to sing it in a little different version. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it's in giving that we receive, it's in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. Stenographer, and every day the books are closed and it's all being written
who we glorified and whose witness we were. And that's what we're all called to be, is just a witness. Bring my son above, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Anyone that I call by my name, sit on the devil's courtroom and shut my eyes and think I'm covering her sin. I'm not. I'm covering her sin by being God's witness to her so she has a chance to repent before the books are closed today.
That's right.
I was reading a little bit this morning and the words that stuck out to me were restore, to restore.
Well, I want to give you a principle that I think will really open our eyes to using love as a tool and understanding some things about our motivations, our rebellious motivations, our lawless motivations, and the kingdom's motivation in us. There's two different areas I want to use this principle for. I want to use it in the concept of the conductor and the orchestra. We're all an instrument. All of us are a particular instrument. And in the scriptural terms, we've all been given gifts. All of us are an individual member, and we've been given gifts to prosper with. And so all of us have basically a motivational sin that it talks about in Hebrews, the sin that doth so easily beset us. And we have a motivational gifting, which is the gifts and callings of God. And the Adamic side of us, the fallen nature, inspired by Satan and by that spirit of iniquity that now rules and reigns over the earth in the hearts of all those that are outside of the kingdom and the love of Jesus, that motivation and inspiration always speaks to the carnal man, Adam. That motivation always inspires Adam. Adam is inspired by the works of darkness and the spirit of iniquity, okay? Now, Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over us. Those of us that are born again and filled with the Spirit, we have the power and the ability to release and allow and step aside and let Jesus rule and put Adam in the box. Adam never dies. He'll be with us as long as we are on this earth. The old man is dead, the scripture talks about, meaning the old man no longer has authority and the position of rulership in the Christian life. Now that's not necessarily so just because you're born again. It's so if you walk in the integrity of the Spirit and go on to follow the Lord. So I want to use this principle that I'm going to give you in relation to you're the instrument and the Holy Ghost is the conductor. Okay? And I also want to use this principle, which I haven't given you yet, which I will. I also want to use this principle in the concept or the context of your day-to-day life as you are being inspired, or as the Lord Jesus, as the Holy Ghost, brings people and things before you. How many of you have known that the relationship that somebody comes before you, or some person is led to you, you meet somebody, you have a great intention.